If you were to search for something that is very important, what is it? What is it that you would think that most important in your life? Important thing, I mean, what I'm saying is temporal things that this world offers. People go to work because of money. Students study hard so that they may someday earn money. Do you know someone who said, money doesn't matter? Somebody said, money, there will be a time that money doesn't matter. While in other Instagram posts that he had, he just flaunting on the much money that he had. And rich people can say without hesitation that money doesn't matter. But to the poverty-stricken, money matters a lot. The desire of having much money, this is a common aspiration of the ordinary mindset. They might be envious of people with much money, that this money that can buy material things that poverty cannot. The richest king of Israel was who? King Solomon. King Solomon. And someone estimated that King Solomon had would have been a multi-billionaire, if not trillionaire, if his wealth is converted into present generation currency. Can you accept without hesitation what the richest king of Israel said in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10? Let's read. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. Do you love money? Do you love wealth? You will never have enough. You will never be satisfied with your income. But if you've got bills to pay monthly, you want more money, you want more income, right? Would that be considered as love of money, love of wealth? Because you need more money. Some people think it's not. Some people consider it. That depends. But we are warned in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Let's read this together. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from faith and pierced themselves with many grief. Money does not cause evil. If you leave that money there, it doesn't do anything because it cannot move. It cannot speak. It's the behavior towards money that should concern us. Love of money can cause many griefs, sorrows. Christians are not exempted. Even church leaders and pastors are confused when they fall in love with money. Have you read that news article where the pastor lambasted the congregation because they did not buy him a fancy watch? I need this fancy watch. Need to buy me this, but you did not buy me. Something like that. I don't know how he said it, but the article says he lambasted just because they didn't buy him fancy watch. And he called himself pastor. Money is useful to purchase many things that we need, even temporal happiness and temporal satisfaction. There are many individuals who are not here this morning because they have money to spend somewhere they want to go, which may cause them to be happy for a while. You can see their smile when they post it on their social media, where they are, their smile. They smile because they are happy to be there. They're happy to experience those things that this world offers, but it's temporary. After that, they would go home tired, and maybe some would be complaining, oh, where did I go? Put my money? Money can buy temporary things, temporal happiness, temporal satisfaction, but it cannot buy long life happiness. Long life, meaning every day you're happy, every day would be smiling, every day you don't feel lonely because you are happy. It cannot buy that. So how can we attain long life, lifelong happiness and satisfaction? How? Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26, the wisest king Solomon says, to the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom and knowledge and happiness, but to the sinner he gives the task of gathering, storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Now, if we love God, we want to please Him. To please God, we believe in Him. When we believe in Him, He gave us salvation, gave us eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. And godly wisdom, godly knowledge, and happiness in our innermost being are included. That term happiness mentioned here in this verse, it pertains to joy in our innermost being. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we believe in Him as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came into our hearts and filled us, produced in us love, joy, and we want to praise Him and love Him all the days of our lives. Therefore, when we love the Lord, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. When we have that innermost being joy, what we sense, it did not come from anything, it comes from the Holy Spirit. Have you sensed that deep joy in your heart when you believe in Jesus Christ? Even if you have not seen Him physically just yet, you still love Him. Let's read again verse 8 and 9. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. That is, for you are, verse 9, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So that glorious joy that mentioned here is the same joy that the Holy Spirit produced in us. Faith in Christ produced firm confidence that we would see Him face to face eventually. That is faith. When Christ returns, takes us into heaven, it would be a glorious rejoicing day for believers. That glorious rejoicing is exclusive experience of genuine believers when the Holy Spirit produces love, joy, peace in our innermost being. Many times, people would say, I'm bored. Have you said that? When you are bored, you need the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ declares that we are blessed, even if we have not seen Him physically, we are blessed. Just yet, because Christ declared in John chapter 20, verse 29, let's read, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Do you believe in Christ? Do you? This term, blessed, is properly translated as supremely happy, extreme happiness. That is what it means. Blessedness, then, is the simplest term to describe a totally desirable situation to be experienced in the Lord. If you want something, if you want an experience with the Lord, it is blessedness that you are talking about. Have you sensed that? That's extreme happiness in your situation lately. Or have you ever observed any favorable transformation in your life after you believe in Jesus? Even if we haven't seen him yet, we believe him by faith. We are blessed indeed. But what do you consider as blessedness? What is blessedness to you? What may cause you to be happy? Some people, they are just easily happy when they have their gadget. That's all. Or they have their favorite pet, birds, fish, dog, cats, reptiles, exotic animals. They are happy. If you were financially stable, does it make you feel secured and happy? If you know that you have much money in the bank, you don't worry about money, you feel secured, you feel happy. But if you were terminated, if you were laid off, and you are not very sure how to support your family, that is a very terrible situation. But it is when you can personally prove, if you still sense that peaceful joy in your innermost being. Have you ever been laid off from your job before? Of course, many. Employers can easily find possible ways, numerous reasons to terminate employees legally. There are a lot of legal ways to terminate somebody. I know personally somebody, a believer, who was terminated from his job a few years ago, many years ago, when this believer proposed this probable project that he thought that would be helpful to their cause, but his immediate supervisors cannot agree with him. He didn't understand why, but they terminated him because of that proposal, project proposal. Well, he could have appealed and for reconsideration to avoid termination, but instead, this believer viewed his termination as divine signal that God was leading him to a better detour to God's better plan for him. Did you hear that? It could be that termination is divine signal that God leads you to a better detour to God's better plan for you. This believer, remember the exact words of Job when he declared in Job chapter 1, verse 21. Let's read this. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Job was the greatest man in his region. But after all his property lost, every wealth he had, everything he had lost, his children died. What did he do? He praised the Lord. He said, may the name of the Lord be praised. The Lord gave. The Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. That positive response of Job to his catastrophe inspired the believer who lost his source of income. And actually, that believer, he did not apply for that job. The job was offered to him. He just accepted it and worked and had been employed. Interestingly, after his termination, it was impressed in his mind that he said, the believer said, I was employed without applying for the job. God can easily give me better opportunity. He believed it. Indeed, he is currently working in an environment that he never dreamed or imagine. It's a true story. I know very personally that person. Have you ever had a personal experience that you never dreamed or imagined? Something that you were in a situation, you never dreamed of it, never dreamed of going to Broadway, and yet you are there in Broadway singing, for example. You never dreamed of eating with popular personalities, celebrities, and yet you were invited to an occasion, and there you are on the table, the personal, the celebrity you respect, eating on the same table with you. You were voted to a situation that you didn't expect. And some of you may not be expecting to be serving the Lord in the Board of Trustees, and somebody might nominate you. Pray about that. Don't just ignore it. God might have been preparing something for you better than you can ever dream or imagine. Have you had that personal experience that you never dreamed or imagined? Can you vividly recall one fascinating experience? Faith is active if you credited the Lord with that experience that you had. Has your faith been rooted and established in love? Make sure of it. May every one of us desire what Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 20. Let's read this together. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. If you have explored how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ, you would love him even more. You would love him. You want to search how you may grow deeper, how you may grow more intimate in your relationship with Christ. And the more you grow intimately in your relationship with Christ, you may experience something you never asked, you never imagined. What is it that you are experiencing at the moment in your relationship with Christ? You want to search him. You want to know more about him. Know more about his love. That's for sure. If you have that, the Holy Spirit at work in your life right now. Let's read again verse 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched instantly with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah in the glories that would follow. Pray that the Holy Spirit inspires you to know him deeper. Keep praying, Lord, fill me, empower me with your Holy Spirit. His inspiration causes us to search more of his love. I want to experience how wide, how long, how deep, how high your love for me, Lord. I want to experience that. We don't hesitate to testify of our personal transformation once we have that experience. We desire, when we are inspired by the Holy Spirit, to share, talk about the gospel of salvation. through faith in Christ. When the Holy Spirit inspires us, we praise Him, we thank Him. We thank Him for the blessings that we have. We thank Him for favorable answers to our prayers. Now, prophets of God in the Old Testament, they were very dependent upon the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke to them, spoke through them, and they relayed their message, the message about the coming of the Messiah, the message about our Lord Jesus Christ. They prophesied about His birth. They prophesied about His crucifixion. They prophesied about His death, His burial, His resurrection. They prophesied, and indeed their prophecy happened accordingly, according to the scriptures, according to what they have written. It happened, and Jesus Christ will certainly return. The Holy Spirit inspires us to believe that. The Holy Spirit enables us to have hope of His imminent, unavoidable return. Are you prepared for the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ? Spiritually, personally, are you prepared? How should we practically prepare for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ? How? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Keep praying to be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation." Keep praying. You will know the Lord better, His plan for you, the things that He had already prepared for you. What is it that you are longing for? The song that we have sang a while back, If you haven't meditate on that, it says, our prayers we don't have because we don't pray to the Lord. Sincerely search your heart. If you sense that yearning, if you sense that longing for Him, longing to know more about the Lord, longing to experience that love of God, if you sense that, the most practical approach to know the Lord after you have prayed sincerely and fervently is to serve Him. Service to the Lord. Apply what you learned practically. Serving inside church premises or church setting or wherever the Lord situates you. Ask the Lord how I may serve you in my work. How I may serve you in school, how I may serve you at home. At home, you can easily serve the Lord. How? The Lord has commanded us many things. When we are at home or when we are with our family, what's the command for husband? Love your wife. What's the command for wives? Submit to your husband. What's the command for children? Respect and honor your parents. What's the command for parents towards children? Do not exasperate, but train them. Train them. See? Those commands are our way to follow the Lord and serve Him wherever we are. Now, at work, what is it that you... that the Lord commands for us at work? Serve as if serving the Lord. And if you are an owner, you are a master, what is it? Pay the salaries of your employees. Outside, what do we do? When we are at work, when we are at the park, when we are shopping mall, what do we do? That is one thing you need to search if you don't know. Let's read again verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. The angels did not know that. They were looking for it. They were asking maybe. But it doesn't matter for them anymore. Because it was given to us, for us believers. The prophets of God searched intentionally and carefully when they predicted the circumstances that points to the salvation in Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ. It was not for their personal marriage that they preached about Christ. It was for the salvation of believers in Jesus Christ. Similarly, if you are concerned of your loved ones, are you concerned of your loved ones? The best gift you can give is to share your faith. What we believe about Christ, we share with them. The death, his death and his resurrection. But when we say we believe in Christ, when we say we have faith in Christ, what actually is? What do we really believe in Christ? How do we explain literally, word for word, when we say Christ died for our sins? How do we say that? How do we explain that to a young child who can respond? Listen very carefully. The Lord, when he was crucified, he took all our sins, the past sins, present sins, and future sins, iniquities, hidden faults, and guilt. When Christ was crucified, the Lord carried in his body and all our sins, iniquities, were punished on the cross. That is what we believe. When Christ was crucified, his blood shed on the cross, washed away our impurities, all our sins, so that before Christ, all believers before Christ, he cannot see our sin anymore that he forgave. All he sees is clean, new creation, believer. And Christ's body was buried. Our old self, the old Lorenzo, was buried with Christ. That is what we believe. Our old self was buried with him. And when Christ resurrected from the dead, we resurrected to new life in Christ. That is what we believe. And of course, the Holy Spirit enables us to live a lifestyle of godly righteousness. When Christ was taken into heaven, we expect that he will return. We have hope that he will return, that he would take us, all believers, into heaven and live with him for all eternity. That is what we believe. Make sure that you memorize those particularities about what we believe surrounding the crucifixion, the death, burial, resurrection, and return of Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to know more about that, go to our website. Koya Max had posted this manuscript in our website. Look for the title, Salvation of Soul. Just click on that and you will find it. Actually, if you are very clever, you have read my manuscript even before I can preach, because he posted my manuscript. Koya Max posted my manuscript a day before Sunday. That is, even for Friday evening, he had already posted it. Saturday, you can read it. If you go to, on Wednesday, you can read my manuscript on Tuesday evening or Tuesday morning. It depends when Koya Max is busy or not. But most of the time, my manuscript has been posted. And regarding to that gospel of what we believe, the good news of what we believe, you can go there, just copy paste, click it, and post it, and put it as private in your profile, and just reread in your social media, and so that it may sink in your mind, deep in your heart, and know what you believe, so that if you're given that chance, if you try and explain to children, and if they understand your explanation of the gospel of salvation and they believe, that means you can easily explain to any person, potential believer, that the Lord had already prepared for you. Do that. Do that and pray. Pray and wait. Wait for God's perfect time. In God's perfect time, you will be able to identify the potential believer that God has already prepared specifically for you to evangelize or even to disciple. When the Lord said, "And you will be my witnesses," to whom? That is our question. I have prepared already for you. He had already prepared to the person who would believe. When the Lord says, "Go and make disciples," who will I disciple? That's our question. The Lord had already prepared somebody that we may disciple. Really? Why? When you believe, who prepared you to believe in the Lord? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prepared you to believe in Him. Similarly, that potential believer, the Lord had already prepared for you. We do not do anything. If we force it, if we force the issue just for the sake of forcing the issue of just trying to impress yourself, that you would sense frustrations. That's for sure. You will be frustrated. You will be disappointed. I thought I explained it very well to this person. Why is it that it's hard for him to believe? It's because you are forcing it. Wait and wait. When you are empowered, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus said, when you receive power, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be my witnesses. He did not say, you will be my witnesses and pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you with empowerment. He did not say that. It's the reverse. Wait. Wait. Pray and wait. When you sense like, I want to share the gospel to this person, the Holy Spirit is already preparing you. That desire comes from the Holy Spirit. I want to witness to my fellow worker, to my classmate, to my teacher, to my neighbor. The Holy Spirit has already preparing you, but wait for the perfect timing. When God's divine appointment comes for you to share the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will remind you what you may say. If sense you feel nervous because that person might be a celebrity, that person might have been more popular than you, and you sense that, shall I share the gospel now? Pray. Pray about that. If it is, the Lord will remind you, will give you the idea of what to say. Oh, I need to memorize. Let me check. Evangelism explosion. Grace. God. Christ. Oh, that's wrong. Grace, man, God, Christ, faith. Yeah, grace, man, God, Christ, faith. I should memorize that. But if ever you forget something, don't worry about it. The Lord may have allowed you to forget something so that you would not say it. Be nice, be kind to yourself. Don't blame yourself. The Lord allows you to say what He thinks is good for the listener to say, for you to say. Let's read what Christ said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 18 to 20. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how you say it. At the time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. Well, God may allow believers to be arrested if it is beneficial for the advancement of the gospel of Christ. But we may not be necessarily arrested, but the Lord may situate us where He can empower us to share the goodness of His gift of eternal life to our listeners, to our contact, to our acquaintance. You will certainly sense that desire to share with others His gospel of salvation if you genuinely believe in Christ. One day, you will sense that urge of sharing the gospel of Christ if you sincerely believe in Jesus Christ. But if you haven't sensed yet that you want to witness for Christ, pray and make sure that you are saved. Make sure that you have eternal life. Make sure that you believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know what you believe when you believe in Jesus Christ? Again, go to our website and copy-paste what we have been discussing a while back. But to tell you that I know a young believer. This young believer is not really young in his age, but young when he is new in believing the Lord. He senses that deep joy in his innermost being while reading the scripture. Wow, I didn't understand this before. Maybe because he may have been reading a version of the Bible that are hard to understand, like the old versions. So choose when you read your Bible. Read the Bible not because it was very popular Bible used by a preacher, but because you understand it fully well. If it is contemporary version that would help you to understand the gospel, do that. Don't stick to that Old Testament, Hebrews or Greek version if you don't understand them. Read the newer version so that you may understand the gospel. But this believer, while reading the scripture, he sensed that innermost joy. He attended Sunday and midweek church services with joy. Go to church early. He would tell his family, "Come on, let's go to church. We are late. Now, you're sensing that in your heart. The Lord is working in your heart. If you feel like you are very embarrassed in the Lord, it will be late. But I pray that everyone would sense that. And this believer, listen carefully when the word of God is preached. And sometimes, there are many disturbances. Yeah, let her. She is not causing anything. Let her. We are more disturbed when people are running after Dylan than watching her, right? Yeah. Let her. It means I love to see children coming in front. Why? It means that we are family. That they feel safe and secure playing around older people. That is the church that I would like. Although some people may be disturbed, but if you are focused in the Lord, you are not disturbed. If you see somebody like Dylan, think that faith like child's is what we need to enter the kingdom of heaven. God, in His perfect time, He would enable you to sense the great desire to serve the Lord. And the believer that I was talking about that, he sensed that desire. I want to serve the Lord, but I don't know how. He did not know, though. Did not know how to serve the Lord. So, mature believers invited him to join an organized evangelism opportunity. There was this organized evangelism, and they invited him. Well, he did not have any previous experience of sharing the gospel. So what he did, he read the book of in evangelism. He read the tracts about evangelism. And the day came to evangelize. They were paired, but his companion cannot speak the language of the people they went to. So he was told, well, because I do not speak the language, maybe the person was from the south and the person is, and they were evangelizing in the north. Southern people cannot understand Ilocano, right? And Ilocano cannot understand Visayan language. That day came. So they told him, because you are from here, you share the gospel, I will be praying. What did the new believers do? He just recited what he remembered from the evangelism book he read. And he also read through the evangelism tract that he had in his packet. Amazingly, that contact positively responded to the gospel. And from that time on, that young believer was very enthusiastic in sharing the gospel. If it's true, I know that believer well. Some of you may have similar or different experience, but the Lord will certainly place you in a situation where you will share to others what you believe about Christ. What do you believe about Christ? Are you ready? Now, memorize what we're discussing a while back. Copy-paste from that manuscript in our website. That is what you would share. What do you believe in Christ? What do you believe? Why do you believe that he was crucified? Why do you believe that he died? He was buried. He resurrected. He will come again. What is it that you believe? How do you explain it? If you sense that nervousness, don't hesitate to pray. Do you feel nervous? Pray intentionally. And God will not place you where you could be laughing stock, where you would be embarrassed. Certainly, he situates us where we will praise us, thank him for his work in our life. We believe what the scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verse 11. What is it? Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Just remember, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Ever since you believe in Jesus Christ, have you been embarrassed because of your faith? Have you been put to shame because of your faith? Shameful situation is not very appreciated for sure. If possible, we make sure that we can avoid embarrassing circumstances. That is what we do. We want to be appreciated for our efforts, right? When we sing, we want people to appreciate us. We don't want to sing and out of tune, nagpipuke. You don't like that situation. This is why some people, when they are invited to join the worship service, they don't like it because they feel like they would be an embarrassment. Do you think the Lord would allow you to be invited to join the worship ministry team just for you to be embarrassed? No, he won't do that. He would invite you so that you would praise him and thank him because you responded to him. Most often, our lifestyle, our effort falls short of what we plan. We plan this, we plan that. What we expect don't happen. What others expect of us don't happen. I have that most of my life. My parents have been very proud that I was enrolled in engineering, while others do not, who are scared to go to enroll in engineering. And then I was enrolled in the academy, and my father was so proud, yeah, the first person to enter the academy. He was very proud. But when I quit from engineering, they were disappointed. When I quit from the academy, they were disappointed. Relatives were disappointed. I know those. I understand those. If you know somebody who did their best to live a life acceptable to the society and still fall short of their own expectation, what should you do? What is your advice? If someone feels very sorry that they just cannot live up to expectations of parents, expectations to friends, expectations to neighbors, expectations of leaders, even their own personal expectation of themselves, if they feel sorry, how do you counsel them? What would you do? Pray. Pray to be filled. Pray to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Always. Don't just dive in or jump in. Pray for them intentionally. Pray for that person. Lord, may this person seek your help. Carefully wait for divine opportunity to share your personal testimony. Oh, it happened to me like this and like that before. Don't just tell that. Wait for the time, for the timing. But most often we are excited. We just cannot help it but share our experience. But don't blame yourself if you do that. It could be that the Holy Spirit enable you to blurt out words, it may be useful. And always keep evangelism track in your pocket and ready to give when it is ready. Shall we stand up and read meditatively 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17? Let's read. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new has here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them, and has committed us to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Shall we pray?